All right, the show's Talk is Cheap. I'm your host, DJ Susti, here on KEPW 97.3 LP, Eugene Peaceworks Community Radio. Thanks for listening. Support independent media. All right, so I'm going to tie progressive rock into the middle class, into a classless society here. I'm attempting this without a net. Okay, and the reason I harp on the middle class is because most historians would tell you that the Nazis came to power in Germany because the aristocrats of the world made the middle class of the world pay for World War One, and it ruined the German economy and sent the world into an economic collapse, and that was why fascism came to power. Most historians will agree on that. So this is why I harp on the middle class. We need to push the middle class to get rid of the aristocratic class. Not in the way that Robespierre did it, preferably, but whatever you got to do to get rid of the aristocratic corporate oligarchic class. So that's what I'm saying. And when I talk about middle class, I'm talking about not talking about the class of conspicuous consumption, but the class. You know, can't we just have a class of people that stay within Earth's cycles? And aren't totally detached from the food, from harvesting and growing food, and because I heard on KBOO the other day, this Native American, and I've heard a lot of people say this, that the poor have a lower impact on the environment. But do we really have to be completely poor to not impact the environment and live an agrarian lifestyle and have to produce your own food and clothing and housing? Do we really have to go that far? And one of the things, my own thing too, is even if, people need to learn how to play with their toys. You need to learn how to live within Earth's cycles. So without necessarily being poor. So, how, you ask, does that tie into King Crimson and progressive rock? Well, what I've noticed is most progressive rock players, King Crimson is not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame yet. And what I notice is progressive rock players mostly were middle class, and they could afford music lessons and afford their musical instruments. And so they're not, I think that, in my theory, is that's why King Crimson is not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Plus, Robert Fripp is a bit of a tyrant, but in his, but it's, you know, the guy, it's his art. That's his right. He's earned the right to be a tyrant. Just like they were interviewing Neil Young the other day on NPR. He's come out with a new album, and the interviewer asks him, "Why? I know you're being criticized for not having technical talent in your band." Well, first of all, you don't ask someone like Neil Young, one of the greatest artists of our time, something like that. There's a lot of reasons why artists will use less technical musicians in their band. He may be trying to showcase his own art. It may be the record company that he can't get a record deal without it. And it may be that he's trying to help lesser-known musicians. There's all kinds of reasons. You don't ask someone to ask Neil Young that type of question. And the reason I'm bringing this up is that's what, Robert Fripp, the leader, the founding member of King Crimson, you know, he's earned the right to do stuff like that. So, and, you know, Neil Young, I don't know that he was necessarily poor when he started. Jimi Hendrix was not poor necessarily. He grew up in Seattle, wasn't necessarily upper middle class, but he wasn't poor. So, and then the other side of it is, if you've ever read Agony and the Ecstasy about Michelangelo or, Da Vinci, too, these are artists that had to use the church to do their art. The church funded their art. The aristocracy funded their art. Da Vinci got a lot of his funding from military. That's why he had so much military devices. So do we have to resort to them funding art? Is that, you know, do you have to be poor to have soul in music? And I would say that even if you do have to be poor, no one should be poor in order to create music. You shouldn't have to eat paint like Van Gogh to create beautiful art. And, you know, the example is Ireland. You get a stipend in Ireland. And I don't know that there's much art that comes out of Ireland. But, you know, U2 came out of Ireland. I think they used the artist stipend when they started. So, again, not rich, not poor. Just could we have people that get music lessons and musical instruments with an appropriate technology? All right, so yeah, I'm bouncing around. Another thing about Robert Fripp is he's always, from day one, he's been against the music industry. He from day one, King Crimson had longer songs than and didn't get airplay on the corporate radio. And now he has what's called DGM Music, which has a different model for paying the musicians and the artists. Not perfect, but he has always strived to pay musicians differently. All right, so then one other thing is what I'm playing for you now is the 95. What King Crimson did is there's Ornette Coleman had this thing called another musician that was probably poor to start out with. But another great musician, Ornette Coleman, had what was called a double quintet. And what this is was to it's kind of an anarchist concept in a way, because what it is to give equality in the entire band so that everyone gets equal time to improvise in the band. And it goes around and around for each person. You know, usually musicians will take four bars to do their solos or whatever. And so what I'm hearing in this, because I barely understand it myself, you should always ask musicians. I always ask musicians when I can and educate myself in music. You know, we don't have music in school anymore that they teach music. And there's a direct correlation, too, between the amount of corporate music industry power and the lessening of instruction in music and the quality of today's music. There's a direct correlation of what is going on. So Ornette Coleman, what King Crimson is doing is having what's called a double trio. And what I'm hearing, what I think is going on, is the bass player will play, one bass player, you have the rhythm section, and then you have the two guitarists, Robert Fripp and Adrian Ballou. So they're doing their thing, because there is no rhythm guitar in King Crimson. They're both soloing at the same time. In fact, one of my friend's brother says to me, I can't understand this stuff. Everybody's doing something different. And my friend and I looked at each other and went, yeah, that's exactly why we listened to it, because everyone in this band is soloing at the same time. So, and in fact, this came to a peak in the 70s in King Crimson. They literally played with sound panels between them live because they couldn't hear their own instrument over the other musicians in the band. They were all playing so loud and soloing at the same time that they couldn't hear their own instrument playing, which, to me, that's the mark of a great rock and roll band. But anyway, where you're so loud that you can't even hear what's going on, and you're all soloing at the same time. So what the double trio is, and at least what I'm hearing, is one bass player will be playing it straight and keeping time and keeping the rhythm, and one drummer will be playing straight and keeping time in the rhythm. And the other bass player is soloing, is taking his four bars of solo while the other one is keeping time. Then they switch back and forth, and one will solo while the other one is keeping time. And then the guitars are playing the theme over the rhythm section throughout the band. And usually, you know, usually Fripp would be more of what a keyboardist would be doing in a band than a rhythm guitar. There is no rhythm guitar. Okay, so if you're still listening after all that, this is what a middle class music would sound like if people could afford music lessons and musical instruments. This is what music, and again, their talent. They are technically talented as well as having soul. You know, there's enough in the human condition that you can have soul without having to be poor. There's enough in the human condition. Okay, so, I'm going to play this tape. And bear with me, I'm training Eva. Uh-huh.
you joining us here at the end of it. And on behalf of King Crimson, I know everyone in the band would like to say thank you so much to all the people who work behind the scenes with us. Without them, none of this stuff would happen.
Thank you.
All right, the show's Talk is Cheap. I'm your host, DJ Susti, sitting here with Eva Edelman, who's doing a show soon. Not yet, but soon, as soon as we get her trained, on brain health and healing and nutrients and herbs, and that'll be on 3 p.m. on Thursdays. Look for that on our schedule. All right, and I've been playing you King Crimson, doing a progressive rock King Crimson show today. All right, now, just to piss everybody off, as I'm apt to do, on KEPW 97.3 LP FM, Eugene Peace Works Community Radio, simulcast on KEPW.org, the Rolling Stones. I do not like the Rolling Stones. They're just a glam band, totally overrated band. Just the fact that John Lennon is dead and Keith Richards is still alive, that should tell you something right there. You know, Keith Richards, the story with him is he wouldn't leave his villa in France. He had so much money that he would not leave his villa in France, and they had to bring the recording studio to him. This is their claim to fame, you know, as well as has a blood transfusion. They sued their accountant. They didn't sue the record company. They sued their accountant because they wouldn't get enough money. You know, the Beatles get busted for bringing pot into the United States. The Rolling Stones' claim to fame is Altamont, where they had the Hells Angels do the security for Altamont, and people got trampled. And the most compelling lyric they have, they don't do anything political in their lyrics. I mean, bite the big apple, don't mind the maggots. That's real great social commentary by the Stones. I remember when Sticky Fingers came out, and I liked Satisfaction the first 1,000 times I heard it, but come on. I actually tried recently. My sister has cable. I was staying with her, and I tried to listen to the Stones from like the 80s, an 80s show, and then there was a more recent show that I listened to. And I mean, they were out of tune, and they're not even in time, so I tried to listen to it and see what all the hubbub was about. And, you know, they steal black music. I mean, the Beatles, when they were the Silver Beatles, they did an homage to black people's music, but haven't we stolen enough from the black people, African Americans, as it is? Do we have to steal their music? And I mean, Led Zeppelin did the same thing, but at least they were good musicians at it. I mean, Led Zeppelin just basically ripped off the Atco catalog, but at least they're good musicians at it and bring their own twist to it. I notice people that are really into the Stones usually have a Springsteen album, a Billy Squire album, and a Todd Rundgren album in their record collection. And John Cougar Mellencamp. You know, the people, and these are the people that listen to, that drive Harleys. These are wealthy people. The people that I notice that listen to the Stones now and go to Stones concerts and are really heavily into them is the guy that drives the Harley, but he's an executive, a corporate executive. Just a note to you Harley drivers, you know, the Hells Angels didn't wear leather, okay? They might have a leather belt, but they wore blue jeans. They did not wear leather, and they drove choppers, not Harleys. And I referred you to the South Park episode on bikers. You know, the most rebellious, and the people I noticed that listen to the Stones are the people that I had problems with in high school that made fun of the fat girl in high school, the ones that are listening to the Stones now. And the most rebellious thing they did was fall asleep in class, drive a car with a Z or an X in the name, or call in sick after the Super Bowl. That was the most rebellious thing. They're the Plastics of the world. They flail through life like a bull in a china shop. They need to check themselves. All right, so there's a reason why you're going to see why I have a special surprise for you if you're still listening, of why I'm talking about comparing the Rolling Stones to King Crimson. And why, actually, I hope King Crimson never gets in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame with the likes of Kiss, Coldplay, and the Rolling Stones in there. Maybe they shouldn't be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Okay, so here you go. More King Crimson, recorded live in 1995 at the Wiltern Theater.
Thank you. Yeah!
It took hours and hours and hours. By the time I was done with it, I was so involved I didn't want to think. I carried it on with me for days and days. Playing little games. Like not looking at it for a whole day and then looking at it to see if I still like it.
Thank you.
Thank you for tuning in to...
You're listening to KEPW-LP, homegrown community radio for Eugene and Springfield, broadcasting at 97.3 FM and kepw.org.
Encircle Films is a local nonprofit that hosts the showing of interesting and provocative documentary films each month from September through June. Our aim is to raise public awareness of issues that reflect our concern for community, country, and planet. Film showings include comments from guest speakers with insights into the film's topic and an opportunity for audience members to ask questions. Our films are shown at 6:30 p.m. on the first Thursday of the month at Metro Theaters, 888 Willamette Street in downtown Eugene. With the disaster that is Donald Trump dominating our political discourse, we're in danger of forgetting that Trump is not the disease, but just a symptom of a bankrupt U.S. democracy that began selling its soul to big corporations and wealthy donors decades ago. This film tells the story of how the coup happened, shows its effects on society's most vulnerable citizens, and explains why Trump and right-wing populist movements around the world are the logical result of this loss of democracy. The corporate coup d'etat will screen on Thursday, November 7th at 6:30 p.m. Find out more at encirclefilms.org.
We're living and we're living.
Here I am, all alone. Picture it,